Okay, what I'm saying. We are continuing our discussion of the Daka. There's a interesting Gemara. Maybe we'll flit around a bit, like the Makor sheet on the top of the Yudam and Aleph. Discussion, a philosophical exchange between Rabbi Akiva and Turnus Rufus. If you look in the third line of Yudam and Aleph, Tanya, Hayy, Rabbi Meir, Omer, Yesh, Lalabal, Hadin, Lashivcha, Velomer, Lach. Right, someone who wants to argue can ask a question on the whole concept of tzedakah. If your God loves poor people, right? Apparently, interestingly, you know, the there were some people who I guess thought God didn't love poor people. Right, God only loved rich people, because if he loved them, he would have made them rich. So if your Jewish God loves poor people, why doesn't God give them food if he loves them so much? Meaning, why would you override the decision of Hashem? Amar lo kishin yitzol ana b'hem yidin shel gehenem. Ah, Hashem loves poor people. The reason why, I mean, this could be a general question, although we're not going to overly philosophize now. Why should we ever do anything in the world? Whatever Hashem wants, he does. If he wanted to do it, he would have done it. If he didn't want to do it, then obviously it's not meant to be done. Okay, so the answer probably to all these questions, right? I mean, Rabbi Akiva and Turnus Rufus had the same exact question answer about Bris Mila. Right, okay, but that's not for now. So we should be saved from Gehenna, meaning the reason why Hashem didn't give the poor people money, so we can give the poor people money and have the zechus. And Zushe Lashal Tanus Rusa Rashi Rekiva Melkechem Ovanim Hum Nemia Einim Afarnasam, right? Amar Lake Nishani to Anabem Medina Sol Gehenim. And then just there was a continuation. Amar Lake Adrab Zoshim Chayavtem Legehenim. Em Shal Chomash Lama Adar Redomer. The Melech Masar Redom Shakas Al Avdei Bukhash Shabik Sa Shur Metiva Lov Shal Achil Lov Lashkos Of Allah Adam Ach Achil Vishkehu. Shom Melech Lo Koi Shal Av. Vatim Kurin Abadim Shem Erkit Libin Eishal Abadim. Right, Turnus Rufus said, he pressed the point. Says, what do you mean you're going to get zechus? Adrab, you're going to get punished. If a king locks up his eved and doesn't feed him, and someone sneaks in food, won't that person get punished? And after all, Bnei Yisrael are avdei Hashem. So how can you override Hashem's gzeira of an onesh on you, on someone? Says, no, you think that we're avadim, we're really banim. If the king punished his son and locked him up and said not to feed him, wouldn't he reward someone who fed him? Because he really loves his son, even though he made a gzeira against him. So Hashem really loves the Jews, and we're banim. His mind turns to is really new. His medrash, his mancha to most of the Torah Shalmakam to Kurim Banim, his mancha in the most of the Torah Shalmakam to Kurim Abadim, but actually in the most of the Torah Shalmakam. Right? He says, after all, you're called Banim and Avadim. It says, Tirim Tzok, it must be when you do mitzvahs, you're Banim, when you do Averis, you're Avadim, and nowadays you do Averis. That's why your base of mitzvahs are destroyed and you're in Golos. Amar Lo, Reyu Omer, Halo, Poris, the Rav Lachmecha, give your bread to the hungry, Vanim, Rudim, Tavi, Bias. This is the thing that comes up three times in these daf, that Aniyim Merudim refers to the Romans. When you bring the Aniyim Merudim into your house, Ha'idna, nowadays, when we're in Golis, you should still feed the poor people even in Golis. So, okay, what's the Maskana? We'll get to. But the Maskana is that even in Golis, Hashem still wants us to give tzedakah. Okay, this brings up an interesting question, which is, we focused a lot last year on Machzor and Shalaniyim, right? What did the Ritva say? What did the Ritva say? But we're Kofa, not because the regular Ritva say, because it's special thing to be Kofa, because Machzor and Shalaniyim is the purpose of Tzedakah to fill the Machzor of Aniyim, or not to fill the Machzor and Shalaniyim. Meaning, in classic Lundish terminology, is the Kiyum in the midst of Tzedakah the Totsa'ah of the meeting the needs of the Aniyim, that the Aniyim have food to eat? Or is it the Maisa of giving tzedakah? From this story, we might very well conclude that the, from what Rabbi Akiva says, Turnus Rufus, we might conclude, no, the mitzvah tzedakah is not to provide the needs of the Aniyim. Hashem provides the needs of the Aniyim. Hashem runs the world, right? What do you mean? If I don't give tzedakah, then this ani will not have food to eat. Kalmus and also shalom, lomer shana v'yad rosh hashana. Right? Hashem decrees how much everyone will have. If I don't give him, Hashem will give him. So why do I give tzedakah? And don't say, even though the Medrash says, oh, well, you know, I'm helping Hashem because now I'm giving Hashem the food that he needs to give to this ani. Hashem doesn't have to spend his own money, as it were. But that obviously doesn't make sense. Like, it's very nice that Hashem's chesed, he gives us credit. Whoa, you gave money to the aniyim. You really saved me money and you really helped me out. That's so nice of you and you get a lot of schar. But obviously that's not true because Hashem has unlimited resources and doesn't need our help. So maybe the point of tzedakah is so that we could, maybe the point of tzedakah is not to sort of helping the aniyim. That's Hashem's business. Point of tzedakah is to nitzol anami dino shel gehenim. The maisa of giving tzedakah, maybe the maisa of giving tzedakah is a zuchus for us. Because after all, regardless of what happens to the aniyim, you know, the fact that I gave tzedakah makes me a better person, as it were, improves me, and therefore that's a zuchus for me. So perhaps this conversation with Rekim and Turnus Rufus would emphasize that the ikar of the mitzvah tzedakah is the maisa and not the totsah. That does seem to come out of the Sefer Chinuch's description. So the Sefer Chinuch, as we well know, the one of those fascinating parts of Sefer Chinuch is the Shor Shei HaMitzvah, all 613. He has Shor Shei HaMitzvah. And what's the Shor Shei HaMitzvah of tzedakah? So interestingly, what does he not say is the Shorish Mitzvah of tzedakah? Shorish Mitzvah of the Tamiya Mitzvah, so we would call it. What does he not say is the reason for the Mitzvah of tzedakah?
To help
the poor people get money or food. Right, that seems like an obvious one. Like, maybe that could have been one of four or five even. Now you want to say, look, the mitzvahs of the Torah, not just Stam, they're very deep, and they have many, many, many shrashim behind them, that's fine. But at least someplace to say the reason for the mitzvah of tzedakah is to help poor people. He doesn't say that at all. If anything, his second reason is to hurt poor people. But he says, what's the reason? Number one, so that we should train ourselves in the midah of chesed and rachmim. To improve our midos, right? To improve our midos. That's the reason for the mitzvah of tzedakah. And who is it helping? Because if we improve our midos, we get more goodness from Shemayim. Basically, the reason for the mitzvah of tzedakah is the self-improvement of the nosi. Really, it's fascinating. It's like to help people in the world. To help which people in the world? To help the rich people in the world. Because when they improve their midos and become better people by giving tzedakah, then Hashem's mashpia more tov on them, and that's Ratzon Hashem to bring tov to the world. Fascinating. The reason for the mitzvah tzedakah is so that the rich guy will get more money, ultimately. Not just money. He means tov in general. He could have thrown in someplace that the poor guy will also get money. It's fine for me to say both. But it's Davka, so the rich guy will be better off. And he says, if not for this, Hashem can take care of the end of you. Like we have here. The second time, he says, because the ani probably sinned, that's why he's poor. And to add to his punishment, he gets boshes. And then he quotes Rekiva. Says the second reason for the mitzvah of tzedakah is, fascinatingly enough, to punish the ani, not to help the ani. Why? Because Hashem punished the ani with having very little money, and another punishment, they have to be embarrassed and take money from another person. Otherwise, Hashem would have sent the money himself. So fascinating, he does not focus on helping the ani. His second reason is an interesting reason, as a, you know, sort of very modish reason. But his first reason is, oh, to help the usher. And that, as he points out, comes out of the conversation, he quotes Rav Basra, between Rabbi Akiva and Turnus Rufus. Now, again, you're never sure exactly what to make Mr. Rushing the Sefer Achinuch, you know, to what extent they're pure philosophy or they love this. But given the context of the Sefer Achinuch, you know, he is writing a combined halacha and philosophy book. This would seem to imply that even on a halachic level, perhaps, the main kiyum of tzedakah is in the ma'aseh nesina, not in the totsah of harvachas ha'ani. This seems to be the very opposite of the approach of the Sifrei. Yes?
Rebbe says this is a ma'aseh oriented. I would just say this is totsah, and totsah cares about the...
Okay, at a certain point, it becomes a matter of semantics. I mean, it's the giving of the nosein, not the harbacha, not the profit of the makabah. Okay. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azari, what does the Sifrei famously said? If someone loses a selah, they lose a 10 shekel coin, and the nimza and an ani finds it and uses it to get food, ma'alav kasav ki'ilu zacha. The Torah considers it as if he did a mitzvah. Right, they have to fill in the end of the pasuk. Kalvachomer, right? Sorry. So how do we know? After all, we're talking here about shicha, right? What is shicha? I forget something. The ani takes it. And l'mani barech Hashem, I get a bracha. So likewise, if I lose money, the ani takes it, I get a bracha. And then he says kalvachomer. If someone who didn't even have kavana, the Torah gives him a bracha. And then kalshkin, if you do mitzvahs with kavana. Okay, but what's the point of Sifrei? The point of the Sifrei seems to say that I get a bracha, I get this zuchos, even if I didn't do anything. I just lost money out of my pocket and the ani found it. Why would I have a zuchos if I lost money out of my pocket and the ani found it? Well, because of the totsah. So I didn't do anything. All I did was lost money. I was irresponsible. I had bad midos that I can't keep track of my property. And I'm irresponsible. But nonetheless, the tzah is all the same, whether I say, oh, poor guy, and I give him 10 shekel, or whether it falls out of my pocket because I have a hole in my pocket, and he picks it up on the street. Either way, he buys the same loaf of bread and has food to eat. So that seems to indicate that the tzah is ikker. Now, again, it depends how far you take this sifrei. Does this sifrei just mean that, you get some sort of malah because ki'ilu zacha? Right? It's, forget the kecha kira, it's the ke'ilu question. What is ke'ilu zacha? Does that mean, Hashem gives you some like extra bonus ke'ilu zacha, but obviously it's not really a mitzvah. You know, it's just some nice extra reward the Torah gives you, you know, for free. Or are we saying, no. Why do you get this zachus? Because, I mean, we didn't really find this about other mitzvahs, right? Or at least the Ra is very clear about the Ra, et cetera, that if someone is, you know, walking down the street and eating a sandwich, and all of a sudden they look back and they finish their sandwich, look back and realize they just walked under a sukkah, just walked through a sukkah, that they get a zchus in Shemayim, and they get a bracha from Hashem. No, the Mishnah write that whether mitzvah srichas kavana or ain't srichas kavana, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, then you don't even know you're in a sukkah, you get no zuchus whatsoever. So clearly there's some zuchus here. So maybe that means that the mitzvah tzedakah is, unlike other mitzvahs, is in the totsah, and therefore you get this zuchus, as long as you accomplish the totsah, even if you did not intend to do it. Like some mitzvahs, which are b'totsah, which the Achronim write, you know, there's a whole dion in the Achronim, but the classic bris milah, we're all chayiv in a bris milah. Right? I promise you, I don't remember, but I promise you, I had no idea I was getting a bris milah. And I did not think about it at all. No one consulted me. No one asked my opinion. There was no free will involved. Nonetheless, I was kind of getting a bris milah. Why? Maybe because the tzah is that I stole up a bris milah. Etc. Okay, the Minchas Chinuch brings 100 rayos like this in the very beginning of the Puru Bu. Anyway, that's the Chakira. The Chakira is, are we inspired by Rabbi Akiva Turnus Rufus to say the Iker is the Maisa Nesina and not the Totsah of the Harbachas Ha'ani? Or no, we're inspired by the Sifrei to say, the Maisa Nesina is not Ma'aki. The Iker is nice. And come home and give me more Skar and Shemayim. But the Iker is the Harbachas Ha'ani.
I mean, how do you tie that Harbachas Ha'ani back to the not nosein?
Whose money it is?
Meaning,
the money.
Wasn't there
I caused it to happen. I caused it to happen.
By losing the 10 shekels.
Clearly, I
caused it to happen.
Causation.
Causation doesn't mean intention. I caused it unintentionally, but I caused it.
Right? I'm going to drop the 10 shekel. I caused it. Okay, so here is our chakira. Is if here we have mitzvah tzedakah. And I think clearly most mitzvahs in the Torah, we would say, are mice-oriented, right? Meaning most of them don't have any totsah, right? Shake a lulav, you do shake a lulav, you didn't shake a lulav, you blew the shofar, you didn't blow the shofar. Either you sat in the sukkah or you didn't sit in the sukkah. But in some mitzvahs, we have to make chakira. Is it the mice of doing the mitzvah that is the kiyum? Or is it the result that comes from it that is the kiyum, etc.? Again, the Chaskin is famous about asking this about Peruvu. The Marach Rosh Hashanah is a famous one about Bris Mila, etc. So let us ask, is it about the Maisa Nesina? And what about the Arvach Zani? No, Reiki already told Tikkunei Serufas that that's not the Indian. Or is it about the Totsa of Arvachas Ha'ani, that the Ani now has money, and that's what the Kiyum of Tzedakah is. The Iker, the mucker for this would be the Sifrei. The Sifrei said, even if I just I caused the Ani to have money through no friend of my own, nonetheless. So, for instance, you get a chos, it doesn't say you're a kayim mitzvah, right? But, yes?
And also that the priest says, if it's really so tzar, right? Is there any room to be mechalek between the kavanah and rachamana? I mean, what's even the kavanah?
No, everything's better if you have the right kavanah. You know, no one's going to deny that, just like everything else, just like a mitzvah saying tzrichos kavanah, everyone agrees you get more of a rachamana shamayim if you shake a little bit with kavanah. Right, everyone agrees, and there's all different levels of kavanah. The higher kavanah you have, right? Don't you believe that the Rebbe who's thinking about all the yichudim when he shakes the lulav gets more bracha than just the guy who knows a pasuk of chumash?
Can you believe that?
Some people do. Don't you? Okay. Don't you believe that the brisker who knows all the lumbus of a sechah sukkah when he's shaking the lulav? Okay. Anyway, I think it's a svara that there's always. Lev Tov always gets a schar klali, regardless of exactly what you're doing. And here would be LP, Rabbi Akiva. Again, neither of these are a proof to anything. Neither of these are a proof to anything because Rabbi Akiva, you can interpret in two ways. He could be saying, the mitzvah is just a maisa nesina. The harvachas ha'ani is not your business. Or he could say, no, the mitzvah is harvachas ha'ani. He's just asking why God created the world in such a way that harvachas ha'ani would be up to you. The answer is in order to give you zechus. But you can give it two ways. Either the mitzvah is just a ma'aseh nesina. The result is not what Hashem cares about. Or no, Hashem does care about the result. Just why didn't Hashem make the world so that there would be a different way of getting that result besides you? To give you zechus, but the ikar is still the result. And the sifrei also, we may or may not hold like the sifrei. And even the Sifrei, it might be ki'ilu zacha, some like ki'ilu zacha, nice chesed Hashem, or it might be real kiyum mitzvah. So we're not sure, but we clearly have a basis for these. And I think the chinuch, again, in what he does say, and especially what he doesn't say, definitely leans towards the idea of the mais nesina. I might, okay. We'll mention something else in a moment. Now, this might have to do with, I'm going to go a little different order than here. The question of the obvious nafkamina is going to be, what if you have a proper result without a proper experience of nesina? Or what if you have a proper mice nesina without the proper result? Both of which we have, makoros about. So, for example, how about if you have a, a proper mice and a sina, but not a proper result? That seems to be the Gemara on Daf Testament base, right? The Tefillah of Yirmiyahu Hanavi, right? If you look five lines from the end of Testament base, or really, let's go a little before that. The end of the fourth wide line on Testament base. V'amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Mike, Stiksev, Rudi, Tzok, V'chesed, Yimtza, Chayim, Tzedaka, V'chavot. What does it mean? Someone who runs into Tzedaka, V'chesed will find Chayim, Tzedaka, V'chavot. V'shad, Rudi, Tzedaka, Yimtza, Tzedaka, because you run after Tzedaka, you will find Tzedaka. Meaning, if you run to give Tzedaka, you'll get Tzedaka. You don't want to get Tzedaka. Elolomachakul, Rudi, V'chad, Tzedaka, because Rogo, Mamchi, Lomos, also in Tzedaka. It means, if you run after doing tzedakah, Hashem will give the opportunity to do tzedakah by giving you a lot of money at work. You'll make a lot of money at work, so you'll be able to give tzedakah. That's not the shot we're focusing on now. No, if you run after tzedakah, Hashem will give you the opportunity to do tzedakah. How so? Meaning, there's always poor people around. Hashem doesn't need a special lace to help you find the poor people. So the first shot is, yeah, Hashem will make you make a lot of money, so that you'll be able to give tzedakah. Nachman says, no, if you run after tzedakah, you really love tzedakah, Hashem will find you mehuganim. Hashem will find you proper people, worthy recipients. That's mehuganim is worthy. Worthy recipients to give tzedakah, so you can give schar. Lafuke mai, as opposed to what? Lafuke mi d'darsh rabba. Apparently, if you give unworthy recipients, you don't get schar. What did Rosh Rabbi Darshan? Darsh Rabbi Magus, what did Yirmiyahu say about his enemies, those who persecuted him? They should stumble in front of Hashem should make them stumble. When he's angry, he should punish them. What's the stumbling block? Army Yirmiyahu, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Afilu B'Shach Shekofen Yitzitzim V'Akshin Lasso Tzedakah, even when they, these are Rishayim, some have subdued their Yetzer and want to do Tzedakah. Be marshal them by having them find unworthy recipients. They don't get schar. That can get into the machlok. What's the definition of worthy and unworthy? Let's even assume, for the sake of argument, unworthy recipients means fakers, right? For the sake of argument, unworthy recipients means fakers, right? They're not really poor. They're just making it up. So what do we see here? We see that Yirmiyah says that you don't get schar if you try to give tzedakah. You have the full experience of giving tzedakah. You, every tikkun it can make in you by giving tzedakah, you've done. Just unbeknownst to you, you haven't really found a poor person, right? You haven't actually had a tzedakah of helping the poor person. You have a full maisa, right? You, as far as you're concerned, you've done a proper nesina. However, and you don't have the proper tzedakah, you don't get schar. And there's a famous question that the Mefarshim asked. It's against a Gemara. It's in Avos Rabbi Nassan and a Gemara in Brachos and a few other places, which says, let's say you want to do a mitzvah and an omis happened, you couldn't do it. You get credit from Hashem for doing the mitzvah. So the obvious question is, from Yirmiyah on the Gemara in Brachos, how could Yirmiyah say they'll get no credit because Hashem will mess them up and give them an improper person? Even if Hashem messes them up and gives them an improper person, so they were trying to do the right thing, they should still get schar. And answers in Muki Yosef very radically, Hada Einu Makabel Schar, not radical in Lamedus, radical in our Gemara. Hanudav Misha Yodeyavo. You know he's unworthy. Meaning, what's the case of Yirmiyah? It's a Dachuk Shana Gemara. Hashem send them unworthy recipients who they know are unworthy and they give money to anyway. Okay, you might have to have a different definition of unworthy. But let's say you don't know, and maybe he's a worthy recipient. Of course you get schar. You're the same mitzvah, because you're trying to do the right thing. Not to mention the fact that he says that if you tell people they don't get schar for giving to unworthy recipients, no one will give tzedakah, and then that will be a big social problem. But what if the Muki Yosef says, of course you get schar if you tried to give a good person and gave the wrong person? Okay, but that's not Pashiv Shad of the Gemara. What is Pashup Shah? Pashup Shah in the Gemara is that if you try to give tzedakah and messed up, you don't get schar, which is strange because it's against the normal rules of the Torah that if you try to do a mitzvah, you still get schar. The answer might be because tzedakah is different from other mitzvahs. Tzedakah is different from all other mitzvahs because it depends on the totsah. Right, Rav Chanan says something a little more complicated. Says tzedakah is different from all other mitzvahs. because it depends on the totsah, all other mitzvahs are more maisa oriented. So, you know, if you try to do it, you try to do an avodas Hashem. And you get credit for the avodas Hashem. Whether you succeed or not is not your fault. But in tzedakah, the ikar schar tzedakah is not for trying to do avodas Hashem and being a good person. It's for helping the poor person. It's for the totsah, the arbachas ani. If you didn't accomplish the totsah, if I tried to shake lulav and onus happened and it didn't work out, if I tried to daven and onus happened and it didn't work out, then I still get the schar. Because in my heart, I'm really trying to come close to Hashem and be a good person, etc. But in tzedakah, it's the flip side of sefrei. Regardless of my kavana, if the ani gets money, I get schar. And maybe regardless of my kavana, if the ani doesn't get money, I don't get schar. Again, will I get a little schar for having a good heart? Perhaps, not the ikar schar of tzedakah. So I think that our gemara makes sense kipshuto if you assume that the ikar kiyum is harvachas ha'ani. So what might the nafkamina be? Nafkamina be, what if you have a maisa without a totsa? Meaning, nasan la'ani stam ve Eino Hagon, the toast. Right? Below your deal. Right? Honest mistake. Sev in a mukay Yosef, you still get full schar. You get schar. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Mitzad the, that makes a lot of sense. Mitzad the Maisa. Sev the mukay Yosef, mekabel schar. However, the pshat of our Gemara is that you don't get schar. Right? Pshat of the Gemara. And Baba Basra, the test of the days, is that he says they don't get schar. Ain't a couple schar. Why don't they get schar? They don't get schar because it depends on the totsa more than the maisa. Again, I am saying Hashem to kill Rach Machana, maybe looking for a tiny bit of schar, but not a schar of tzedaka. Because the schar of tzedaka depends on harbachas on, not on being a nice person.
Could you move the camera? Can you move the camera a little bit so we see the top of the board?
Okay. A similar enough. Yeah.
Just to defend this, is it possible just to say, like, come on, bro, this isn't saying you. You actually did it. It's some sort of star like you did. So
okay, but so not okay, but nonetheless,
and here it's like that you didn't shake a lulav. You did something. You did a nice night, say you became a nice person, but you thought it was a lulav, but then it ended up not being a lulav. So you might have had, you have some sort of star for being a nice person. You didn't do the mitzvah of stuff.
Okay, fair enough. Even though the Gemara says that you get star as if you did it.
That's a great
thought. Okay, I hear the Taina. I tell you can't say that. How about the flip side?
I think you mean Natam b'ta'ut l'anish eino agun.
Yes. Natam b'ta'ut l'anish eino agun. Okay, I was trying to just be melamed zchosan all the einam who got it, and you ruined it. How about the flip side? What if you have a totsah of helping the ani without the maisa? I mean, this is basically the case of a sefrei, right? So a classic example is, what about you have totsah without maisa? Now again, totsah without maisa might be going a little far. That would be the case of the sefrei. But what about a totsah without a, well, maybe, totsah without, what? Yeah, maisa. That might have to do with another gemara. Again, all these gemaras are scattered around here. For example, Daf Tesam and Aleph. What it say in Daf Tesam and Aleph? We have that cool story with the nephews of who? Right? Whose nephews were there? Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's nephews, correct. What does it say here before we get to that story? On Tesam and Aleph, the end of the sixth to last line, Zocha, Hare Paras Lorid Lachmecha. If you're Zocha, you give your bread to poor people, you give tzedakah. Lo Zocha, you're not Zocha. Again, the Pashim Shat Rashi, a little funny, is Zocha, you're a good person, you're a firm person, you give money to tzedakah. Lo Zocha, you don't keep the money. Meaning, right, the Rambam actually writes, it's a funny thing for the Rambam to write in Mishnah Torah, he usually writes more strict halach, he says, no one ever got poor from giving tzedakah. You don't lose money giving tzedakah. Why? Because if you're Zocha, you give tzedakah. If you're not Zocha, Vaniyim Rudim Tavi Bias, which again refers to the Roman, evil Roman Empire. If not, the guy can confiscate it from you. Right, so you end up same amount of money. You don't give the amount your Hashem wants you to give $1,000 to tzedakah, and you don't, the guy will come and confiscate $1,000. Amr the Rav Lemichuz Matus Minaychu, by relief. Usu Bahadi Adani, please force each other to give tzedakah. Ki hech lever l'shlom of Malchusa, so that you'll have Shlom Malchus, and they won't have to come and take the money. Rami Rilas was not sure he said, make a shkayim on him, shokol, shikol, miskapol. On top of this, make sure you give machs a shekel and get kaparas. It says, b'chapol, not shosechem, after shame, it's make a shkayim. Now that we say, make tash, im osim tzedakah mutav. If you do tzedakah, good, you get kaparas. Im lav, bom, ov, lichom, and notum is rorof. Not that, oh, the goyim come and confiscate your money by force. Okay, that's what we've been saying above. Basically, this is a nice musser. If you don't give the tzedakah, the goyim are just going to come and confiscate it from you, so you should give tzedakah. But here's the chiddush, you're being next on tzedakah. It still counts as tzedakah, even if the goyim confiscate it, which is a little funny. Shenemar of no psayach tzedakah, he makes a drasha, no psayach tzedakah. Right, again, it's a drasha, not shu shalmekra. Those who oppress you count as tzedakah. Now, this is very peculiar. Why should it count as tzedakah if the goyim confiscate your property? Right, this is a big mystery. Why should it count as tzedakah if the goyim confiscate your property? After all, you didn't do anything. Why should it count as tzedakah? Now, and here we have a big machlokas among the mefarshim. The Meiri has three pshatim. And the Maharsha agrees with the first pshat of the Meiri. The first pshat of the Meiri, I mean, they say it in different words, but it's the same pshat. The first pshat of the Meiri is, Shemenake Kelek Ha'aniyim. It takes off in the chelek of the aniyim. Okay, the Meiri is not so clear exactly how this works. The guy can come and take money from you. You tell them, don't take the aniyim. I mean, the guy don't care. But I assume that, like Marsha explained, what do you mean the guy can come and take money? Usually the goyim have a certain amount of money they want to take, right? Like for the taxes. Remember? They want a certain amount. They decide we are going to collect, you know, 1,000 dinar. So if they find the rich guy and take money from him, there'll be less pressure on the poor people. Because after all, you know, the Romans aren't stupid. They start with all the rich guys. They're not going to waste their time with the poor people. They start with all the rich guys. And if they can get all the money they need for the rich guys, what are they going to worry? You know, go through each poor person's house, find one dinar, find two dinars. It'll take us all week. Go to the rich. So if they go to the rich people's house, they find 100 dinars. Man, it's they don't bother to go to the poor people. So it comes off the chiluk of the poor people. So that's the Marsha, the Meiri might say, like, if you give it nicely, they'll take off the poor people. Or the Meiri second shot is in token nos and panim anim rachim. If you pay your taxes nicely, then I get better give tzedakah, they won't tax you. If you pay your taxes nicely, then the goyim will be happy that they found a Jew who paid a decent amount of taxes. They'll be in better mood, and they'll rachim in the anim. We'll do that for the same thing. The first shot in the Meiri, the Marsha says, it ends up lessening the burden on the aniyim. When you goyim confiscate money from you, it saves money for the aniyim. This, how's that tzedakah? This makes a lot of sense based on this refrain. If you say it's all about the rotsak harbachas aniyim, then here, I'm just paying my taxes, right? I'm not trying to do tzedakah at all. But nonetheless, it ends up saving the aniyim. So this makes a lot of sense. How about, Vinosayach tzedakah. So, Nicha Alpi Maharsha and Meiri Perushim Aleph Tbeis, which is that Einam Notlim Min Ha'aniyim. Right, somehow, when you give more, the aniyim give less, because they're in a better mood, because they don't need to pressure the aniyim so much. When you give, the aniyim give less, and therefore you're really giving money to the aniyim indirectly. Again, it's like falling out of your pocket. The goyim came and confiscated, but ended up your money went to the aniyim. Not as directly as this bread. It's not like you dropped 100 shekels and the ani picked it up. You gave 100 shekels to the goyim, and then an ani kept his 100 shekel. Okay, so then it makes a lot of sense. If you look at seductive tzad the maisa, then basically I think it is impossible to say that it counts as seductive the goyim take from you. The goyim confiscated money from you for their taxes. What does that have to do with tzedakah? How is that? To use the lashon of the chinuch, melumadim regalim minas hachesed varachim, etc. There's no ma'aseh nesina here whatsoever. Then I think what you have to say is.
You mean ma'aseh nesina? Do you mean tzedakah benosa?
What?
It is a ma'aseh nesina.
What do you mean? No. The guy paying taxes. I'm not giving any tzedakah.
But it turns out to be that you're giving.
But that's not what I am doing. I'm giving to the goyim. I'm not giving to tzedakah. It indirectly benefits the poor people.
Why? So I think the answer of Marsha that it indirectly benefits poor people will use that for Maisa also. And your Maisa ultimately does benefit them a little bit. And they're forcing you to do the Maisa, but if they might.
But it's not like they're saying, if they're forcing you to give money to poor people, then you could say, okay, that's the Rambam per base of Helpless Garrison. You really are being a good person. You just needed a little push, etc. Over here, they're just not confiscating tax money. You might be handing over the money, but you're not doing maisa tzedakah. Clearly, your experience is not a tzedakah. Your midos are not tzedakah. You're doing a maisa of something that leads to tzedakah, but you're not doing a maisa of giving tzedakah. You're doing a maisa of giving taxes. Unless you want to say, you have in mind, I'm so happy to give the taxes, and you're really just trying to bribe them to not take the aniyim, which, you know, perhaps is the first shot of the eerie means, but it seems very rachot. I think what you're going to have to say is, you're going to have to say it doesn't count as tzedakah. And what can you say in the end? It depends which part of this Gemara you take more literally. It says in Oksayach tzedakah, but what aspect of tzedakah are we dealing with here? Kapara. Okay, what is mechaprim? Besides mitzvos, what else is mechaper? Anyone knows something that's mechaper besides mitzvos? Mitzvos and zechuyos are mechaper, right? What else is zechuyos? What else is mechaper? Surin are mechaper. Maybe it's not that mechaper al tzedakah. It's mechaper al tzisurin. What does Hashem say? If you want it zochay, you do mitzvos, you'll get kapara for the mitzvos. If not, you only want kapara for mitzvos, I'll give you kapara for yisurin, and the goyim will come take away your money, which is exactly what the Maharal says here. Says the Maharal here. In his Kedusha Gadus, says, why is it a pearl nafshel? Because it takes away from you. Your money is your life. I mean, he doesn't mean that in an improper way, but still, you need money to live. And if someone's killed by the anti-Semitic goyim, that's a kapara, right? We have that in Hilchos Avos, Shulchan Aruch. Right? If someone is shmad and they die, then we're not mishapo for them. But if they were killed because of anti-Semitism, the goyim, they get kapara. Okay, so, you know, if the goyim take your damim, that's kapara. If the goyim take your damim, that's also kapara. Right? So it's kapara of Yisurin. When you suffer from anti-Semitism, then that's a kapara, not because of a mitzvah, but because Yisurin is a kapara. The Meiri adds a little. The Meiri always wants to be a little more rationalist than the Maharal. He says on the Gemara of Yisurin Mechaper in the Arba Chalukei Kapara at the end of Maseches Yoma as well. The Meiri in the third shot says, it's tzedakah, not just suffering. Because I'm a kavlin also, v'simcha v'sovlin ol galusam l'kavad Hashem. When you're mekabel Hashem's onesh v'simcha, you accept Hashem's Zardin. Hashem sent me into Golas for the going to persecute me. I accept Hashem's Zardin b'simcha. That's a zechus. But it has nothing to do with tzedakah, nothing to do with the poor people. You have to say that, again, that this is not tzedakah at all of no sayach tzedakah. It doesn't mean it's a key of tzedakah. What it means is it has something in common with tzedakah that you get kapara, not tzedakah at all, but kapara of Yisurin, or as the Meiri would say, the Meiri thinks that Yisurin itself is not kapara, unless you take Musar from Yisurin, unless you accept the Yisurin, the Simcha, because you're accepting Hashem's din. And this is the Maharal and the Meiri in his third shot. Without a proper maisa, what about kavana bitstaka? Okay, here I didn't put on the korah sheet, but interesting question. Do we say mitzvah strikas kavana bitstaka or not?
Right, there's a big deal in all the lumdish achronim, right?
The Michas Chinuch says mitzvahs are, even if mitzvah shiv kavana prove who is not tzar kavana, because the mitzvah is in the totsah, not in the maisa. So what would you say? You would say if it's about the maisa nesina and the midas of this, the midas of that, then perhaps you'd say this is kavana. You need to be wanting to do the right thing. Then you would say it would be tzar kavana lemanda amar. Mean lemanda or tzar kavana. But here you would say maybe the Kuliyama ain't no Sara Kavana, right? The Beis Halevi discusses this. He doesn't quote it. He says all the Akronim are right, that you don't need Kavana in Tzedakah because of Mitzvah and Totsah. And then he has his own shot. He has his own very unique angle on it. I personally think this tied back to, and here I'm going to change what we said last time. Remember this, what was strange about the Ramban? What was strange about the Ramban? He said, he started with the question of Tosos. Are you kofet on tzedakah? He says, yes, the home to the aniyim. Unlike all other mitzvahs. What's this proof that tzedakah is different from all other mitzvahs? What? It's a heter of nisayon. So last time we said, how the heter of nisayon a proof of this? So maybe it shows Hashem cares so much. So we gave a heter of nisayon because he cares so much about the aniyim. I think actually you could say maybe in a different way. What's the problem with nisayon? Here's an interesting question. What's the problem with nisayon? Maybe the problem with nisayon is that it's a hafkaah of kavanas ha-mitzvah, the avodas Hashem shebe mitzvah. If I do a mitzvah because Hashem wants me to, because it's the right thing to do, etc., then that's a proper mitzvah. If I do a mitzvah because I'm testing Hashem as a quid pro quo, then that's not a proper mitzvah. That's the antithesis of kavana. That's shaloyu kavan Hashem shebe saravam nastikavu pras. Etc., right? Like the Gemara here discusses. Maybe the problem with the soyam is that a mafkia the kavana the mitzvah. So why would the soyam be mutter tzedakah? Because if a mitzvah, the ikar is the ma'aseh mitzvah, you have to do it right kavana. If the ikar is like the sifrei, the ikar is the totsah, who cares how the totsah came about? Who cares what you were thinking? Who cares what your intentions were? The totsah is the other gets money. And maybe that's why the soyam is mutter. Because we don't care about your frame of mind in giving tzedakah. We only care about the result that the aniyim get money. And therefore, nisayon is mutter, because as long as you achieve the result, we don't care what you were thinking when you achieved the result. You didn't have the proper midos, and you weren't really improving yourself, and you weren't really being spiritual. You were just making a quid pro quo business deal with a higher power. So no matter the mindset, they didn't even get money. So maybe that's really the pshat of the Ravaz, right? Maybe, ulai kavanas haravaz, is that hutar hanisayon mipnei shekavana eina ikarit mitzvah tzedakah. Mitzvah tzedakah, we don't care so much about your kavana. We care more about whether the Indian get money to get it on. Here they get money. Let me just, before I take from Ari, then we'll continue.
No, just the math point we said that we did last year. Okay. We said, and then we're talking that Amanas, Shadi, Arash, you're a doctor, by itself, you're able to say that because of what you're in time.
Correct. Exactly. Right. Good. And this, of course, would tie in a little to a whole last year. What about Litzdaka, right? I forget. We had some numbering scheme. I forget exactly what the words look like.
I remember.
I don't remember. what important looks like. But the whole concept of kfiyah and tzedakah, remember I had like six chapter or something here that within the regular realm of normal mitzvahs I say, and then another two pshatim, and then the Reb Chaim was over here, was like a curveball of this is different than regular mitzvahs I say because of the needs of the aniyim. Well, hold on a second, this depends a little. If you really ask for Rabbi Akiva, what needs the aniyim? Some things here are the needs of the aniyim, tzedakah is for the needs of the ashir. Not the Sefer Chaim says tzedakah is not for the aniyim, tzedakah is for the ashirim. So then you would have to say that it follows the regular rules of mitzvot saseg, where we have the minchas chinuch and we have the etc. But if you said that tzedakah is for the machzor aniyim, that the ikar is the dotzah, then maybe you could say. It's different. No, if the ikar is the harvach aniyim, it's different from all mitzvos asay, which is what you get in the Ritva and the Radvaz. This would also tie into a number of fascinating issues, such as let's go to the question of quantity. Amount of the donation versus the number. Donation is not a good word. What's a better word?
Nithina.
Gift. Nithina. What's a nithina? Is it a gift?
Contribution.
What? Contribution. That's the word. Okay. Contribution. The amount of contribution versus the number of contributions. It's the S and the N that makes all the difference, right? What's more important, how many times I give tzedakah or how much I give? Meaning, is it better to walk through Shalayim and give 100 guys a shekel or to give one guy 100 shekel? So this is a very, very famous Rambam. Said the famous Rambam in Pirkei Avos, Hakol Lefi Rov HaMaisa. Okay, that Mishnah Kol Lefi Rov HaMaisa is nithan to many, many, many Pirushim. Everyone has a different Pirushim, Kol Lefi Rov HaMaisa. It's a very vague statement. But says the Rambam in Pirkei Avos, he says, you don't get, again, this is, you know, a classic Aristotelian virtue ethics. He says, you don't get a virtue. You don't get virtue is what we call midat tovah. You don't get a midat tovah from doing something once. You get a midat tovah from doing it many times. And likewise, a midat ra. And therefore, he says, what's the hakol? How does Hashem cheshbon what you do? He says it depends how many times you do it, not how big of an action you do. And therefore, what's the example? There's one, only one example is, if you give someone 1,000 dinar once, you don't become a generous person. But if you give 1,000 people a dinar on 1,000 different occasions, then you become a generous person because you're machzik, this mida in yourself. And therefore he says, the schar in the Torah of doing one big tzedakah for 100 dinar is not nearly as big as the schar doing 100 times for 1 dinar. And the Maharal gets very mad at him. Says the Maharal on Daf Testament days, or maybe the Rassel Daf Testament Aleph. What does the Gemara say in the bottom of Testament Aleph? Amar Rabba Haimilsa Ishtoili Ula Mishagesh Orcha Se Deime. Okay, this is a whole tangent here about why he's called Mishagesh Orcha Se Deime with all kinds of difficult taros. But this Ula Mishagesh Orcha Se Ula, not the Ula, meaning a kid who drove his mother crazy, basically, made his mother crazy. Mishmei Mori Lazar, Midas of a Yilla Shtaka Tzirion. What do you mean he donned tzedakah like a coat of armor? Lomer Lacham, Ashirin Zeko, Klipa, Klipa, Tzarefis, Shirin Gadol, Afin Tzedakah, Kaputa, Pritza, Tzarefis, Lacheshbon, Gadol. What's a Shirion? A Shirion is, I'm not, someone maybe here is remembers the name of the different kinds of armor. Kind of armor that's made like of scales. What's that called?
A coat of mail.
What?
Chainmail.
I didn't hear.
Gray mail.
Chainmail.
Chainmail. Maybe that's chainmail? Okay, good. Chainmail. Whatever it is. Not the kind of armor with big plates of metal. Right? Apparently, it's not the kind of armor they were used to in those days. Okay, it says, just like an armor, each little piece of metal is nothing. But if you put it on together, it becomes a dumber gadol, right? It becomes a shirium gadol. Likewise, in tzedakah, each penny you give adds up to a lot. Okay, what does this mean? Says the Maharal, what this means is that it really doesn't do much to give like one shekel to an ani. What does one shekel help the ani? How does one shekel help the ani? But he says, if you give a shekel, someone else gives a shekel, someone else gives a shekel, Hashem does a special zechus that even though by other mitzvos it doesn't add up, by tzedakah it all adds up. It says, and some people wanted to say, he doesn't mention my name, we know it's the Rambam. Some people say it's better to give a lot of mitzvos, do 1,000 mitzvos of a shekel rather than give 1,000 shekel at once. Says the Dibrachamim, but it's not true. Adrava, we see it's better to give 1,000 shekel at once. But there's a special kula that if you give a shekel at a time, Hashem considers it as if you gave 1,000 shekel at once. But it's clearly better to give it all at once. The Sefer Hasidim holds the same thing. The Sefer Hasidim says, Tov la'adim l'farnis echadim enel l'farnis nefesh achas tov shijin l'chamishim lo yaspiku. Better to give one person what he needs than to give split up five people and not give them what they need. And I mean, here it gets a little tricky, but if you think about it, you know, yesh la'ayin, but mitzad the totzah, you know, this is Rav Lichtenstein analyzed this locus when he got to that part of Yichyahu's. Mitzad the totzah, everyone you give a shekel doesn't really necessarily help them. You know, they get one shekel, they'll waste it. It's not, if you can really like give someone a lot of money, turn their life around, maybe that makes a bigger difference. Mitzad the totzah, maybe the Maharal and Sefer Hasidim are right. It's better to do something which has a significant effect than just some partial stopgap measure. But the Rambam is very clear. Rambam's not interested in Totsah at all. He's explicit about this. Says, or someone's going to say he is interested in Totsah. Yoni's going to say, the Totsah of my Midas Nedivas. But that's not why. That's what you said before. Says the Rambam, very, very clear. Says the Rambam very explicitly, we care about your midos, your tzedakah. Therefore, says the Rambam, adif harbe nisinos ketanos. However, says the Sefer Hasidim and the Maharal. The Maharal brings a right for sunya. Why say every bit adds up? Sounds like it's really better added up. But Hashem still gives you credit for the bits. Sefer Hasidim and Maharal say no, adif. Nesina achas gedola. I think it's on the dotsah. The same Nesina Maral makes sense. It's on the mice, so the Rambam very explicitly. He's only interested in your midos. He's like the same for chinuch. He says, when you get schar, you get schar for your midos. You don't get schar for helping yoni. And if someone will say, oh, but I put the Maral on the other side of the Hakira earlier. So here's the tricky part. There could be another reason someone says this. Meaning, this wasn't really saying Maisa and Tzedakah. It was just saying we reject this answer. The Maharal could reject this answer not because he holds the Totsah is not important. The Maharal could reject that answer because he just doesn't think he would see us that the Romans take more money from the rich person, they'll take less from the poor person. He could just reject them and see us. So over here, the Maharal could also agree, meaning I don't think the Maharal has to be inconsistent. Maharal could agree in Lamdus, but argue in Metzius, right? The reason why he had to go to Kapar Tzisurin could be not because he didn't like the idea of the Sefrei that you get credit for the Totsah, but because he just didn't think that's how Romans worked. Who said that if they take money from you, they won't take money from the other guy also? Adrav, if I was an evil empire, the more money I took from you, I would still take more money from everyone else. I'm not a nice guy.
I really don't understand Rabbi Zvid of the Rambam, because first of all, the Rambam doesn't say that Hakol is referring to the Ma'alam and the Kaddish Baruch Hu. He's talking about Kinyan Mida. And second of all, the Rambam uses Tzedakah as a mashal for showing how if you do more actions rather than doing larger actions, you'll develop your Mida more. He's not at all talking about what he thinks tzedakah is betzen.
Okay, although he is talking about what he thinks the schar tzedakah is. He says towards the end of the paragraph, came the Torah in schar misha, etc. So he is talking about schar.
He's saying schar of.
Yeah, okay, he says schar doesn't mean he meant what tzedakah. Schar means the schar klali for more general issues. And he is commenting on Bahakol. He is commenting on Bahakol.
But when he defines Bahakol, he's saying my love.
Correct. He's clearly talking about Midos. That's clear.
So he's not talking about Tzedakah.
Well, he's talking about the Midos of you get from giving Tzedakah.
He's talking about Midos, for example, generosity.
Right. Midos, for example, generosity you get from Tzedakah. But he does say you get, basically what he said, you get more schar for a Tzedakah that improves your Midos. That's what he says.
So then he shouldn't distinguish between different types of Tzedakah because the totality is irrelevant to the fundamental nature. And also, how can you respond to the Maharal? If someone asks you, I need $10, otherwise I'm gonna lose my house. I need 10 more dollars. But you should still only give $1 to him because you can give 9 more people? Absolutely not. Meaning the totality, you can't argue that the totality is irrelevant.
It's a good question because, you know, but maybe yes, maybe look, kill this, 9 other people. I hear what you're saying. What you're saying is this Rambam might just be his theory of Midos, but not about the mitzvah of Tzedakah. And even though he says the schar depends on it, it could be that the schar doesn't go by the lundus of Tzedakah. The schar goes by more clothes that falls off the yeah. Fair enough, but I think that we will see that it's consistent in the Rambam and it will become a pattern. And I will even tie into something that you hinted at. So give me a second and maybe I'll convince you. Let's go on to this fascinating machlok between the Rambam and the Meiri. Fascinating machlok between the Rambam and the Meiri, in my humble opinion. What is more important than tzedakah? How you give it or how much you give? Whether you have a smile or how much you give. In a parshanot level, we can tie this into lo yiral abavcha b'simcha lo, etc. But let's stick with the halachic makoros. How about the attitude versus amount? What's more important? Clearly, they're both important. No one denies they're both important. No one denies that the more you give it with joy and a smile and niceness, the higher level of tzedakah. The more you give a proper amount, the higher level of tzedakah. Obviously, you don't need to give too much, but up to the proper amount. And the more you're cheap and only give one shekel, that's a lower level of tzedakah. And the more that you give it with a scowl, that's a lower level of tzedakah. Okay, how can anyone disagree with that, right? The question is, what's the hierarchy? Let's say things get interesting when you compare things that good people like us should never even have to deal with. One guy gives the right amounts of tzedakah, as much as the ani needs with a scowl, and the other guy gives one shekel with a smile. We prefer to be neither of them. We'll give a nice amount of money with a smile. But let's say you're low down on that ladder of tzedakah, which is the bottom. Fascinating question. Again, I'm not saying anyone thinks we don't care whether you smile or not, or we don't care how much you give. But when push comes to shove, what's more important? Look at, yeah?
So is it a smile or is it like
show empathy? What? Smile, empathy. Right.
He says like he's like suffering with
him. Okay. I mean, that's already adding something. The Rambam says don't answer us. So correct. With feeling, with empathy. What does the Rambam say in two places? A, perik yudal l'chadalid. All of those things. Tzedakah lo ani b'sever panim ro'os v'panav pushas v'karka. Afilu nosel elef zahuv, 1,000 gold coins. That's a lot of money. Avad zechusa v'fsido. You lose all your zechus if you give it with a bad attitude. Elef b'sever panim ro'os. It's worthless with a bad attitude. You lose all your zechus. What would we expect the Rambam's lowest level to be? If he just said in halacha dalad, you lose all your zechus if you have a bad attitude, then what should the lowest level be? It's not a trick question. It's an easy question.
No,
having a bad attitude. Which, in fact, what happens when he gives is 8 levels of tzedakah. the lowest level is forgive him with resentment, not sadness, let's say resentment, right? Of the second lowest level is pachas min haroi. You give him less than you should. But the lowest level of the etzev, even for the Rambam, when push comes to shove, the amount is relevant, but the attitude is more important. Who disagrees with the Rambam, if you read him carefully? I mean, he disagrees whether you read him carefully or not. Just you only know that he disagrees if you read carefully. The Meiri, right? How, what lum did you use to figure that out? That it was on the same line in the Makorah sheet. What does the Meiri say? He has nine levels of tzedakah. But what does he say fascinatingly? Shuvias, listen. La'achar sheyisha l'matana hogenis. The seventh level is you give him a proper amount. Shminas pachman arel shenos b'tei b'man. The eighth is you give him too little but nicely. Shias pachman arel upon him zomos. The ninth level is you give him less than the proper amount with resentment. But let's think about it. What if you give him the right amount with resentment? That's not the ninth level. That's not the eighth level. That's the seventh level. The seventh level was you give matana hogenis, you give the right amount. And he didn't distinguish between your attitude. If you give the right amount, that's the seventh level. Even if you give it with a scowl, if you give too little with a smile, or with an empathy, that's only the eighth level. Meaning for the Meiri, it's a higher level to give the right amount with, it's a higher level to give the right amount, even with a frown, than to give too little with a smile.
Is the seventh level just the same thing that I'm saying? It's the point of the lach or shayishel.
Yes, but notice what the, how does the Rambam describe the lowest level?
Just
that. How does the Meiri describe the lowest level? Pause my right upon him zoomos, meaning why did you give haroi to upon him zoomos? And it's not the lowest level of the Meiri.
How do you read the rest of that line? Is it clear that that's one case or it's...
Yeah, if you give less than proper with a scowl, ukedai bazeh bizayon lenosu makabel. If you do that lowest level, it's a tremendous bizayon for both parties.
Meaning, could that be an or as opposed to an and?
It's a Kiddush to make this an or. You know, this is not Tanakh, the Pash, and especially, look, you have to, it has to be parallel to the eighth level. Pach's been a Roy, oh, well, there, it's an Ella, fine. Pach's been a Roy, I mean, you didn't use bump to me, oh, he's not the Chumash. I think it's a valid deal for the Meiri. The Meiri said the lowest level is too little with a scowl. Oh, what if you get a lot with a scowl? It's not so high, but it's not the lowest level.
Does that have anything to do with the feeling of the honor?
Hold that thought. Here, it does have to do with something else. Hold that thought for a moment. When you might say, it's here as the Rambam works well, the Shitase, says the Rambam, he said the attitude is more important. What are the two rayas? The two rayas are A, avad zechuso, if you give it a bad attitude, and B, a bad attitude is the lowest level regardless of amount, right? It's the lowest level regardless of amount, which of course he has to say, because he said in Halacha Daled, you're avad zechuso regardless of amount. If you have no zechus, it's the lowest level. What does the Meiri say? Says the Meiri, if you're redacting the Meiri, he says, no. Only pachos min haroi bitpanim zoamos is the lowest level. And the diuk is, what if you give matana hogenes bitpanim zoamos? If you give matana hogenes bitpanim zoamos, that's maybe the haroi that's in the second level. You're right, seventh level, same language, right? But across the elimination, and it seems to it, meduyak, that Matana hogenes bipanim zoamos is adip, is a higher level, me matana pichusa bisaver panim yapos. Why? Because, after all, the mice of the other needs money.
Okay, inside you, your attitude is much more important than how much you give. Inside the ani, how much you give is more important than the attitude. However, as Mark pointed out, this is not lukra, because I think the Rambam works very well, lishkikase, but you could have, I think the Rambam works very well, lishkikase, but you could have explained the Rambam in a different way, also. You could explain the Rambam, the Rambam's also about to saw. But what is this? Whose hierarchy of needs is this?
Maslow's
the hierarchy of needs. I don't know anything about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but maybe this is there somewhere. It's all about hierarchy of needs. You could have said the Rambam's also about the Tzah, but you know what? The Ani has economic needs. He also has emotional needs. Who's to say which Ani is better off? The Ani who has chizuk and a good feeling about, you know, really about humanity, you know, about his relationship with other people, but goes to bed hungry, or the ani who has a loaf of bread, but feels put down and denigrated. So you could say he needs out of maybe they're both inside of Totsa. The machlokas is, what's more important Totsa to the ani? Having a full stomach or having self-respect? And that's a good question. I don't know how to answer. I don't know how to answer that question. I assume Viktor Frankl would say that the emotional needs. What do I know? Maybe not. Maybe he'd say we shouldn't care about some things.
You want to say something about this?
Okay, what does Maslow say?
He's a little bit of a steer because he says that probably your economic would be the lowest, but he himself grew up like that, any of that stuff, and still had his emotional stuff, didn't care. It was fine.
All right, whatever it is. It doesn't matter what Maslow would say.
Are you going to try to tie this into Rabbi Yehuda also? About their machlokas, about Ra'av or Bizayon Halabush, the Bizayon is worth, or the itself?
Maybe that's what it says there. Anyway, no, you're right. I mean, you do see this a little bit in Rabbi Yehuda, what's worse, right? The kava, the Bizayon of not having clothing, or the physical pain of not having food, even though, again, neither of those are exactly the same as how people treat you, but you're right, it ties in. So I'm saying this is, and theoretically, you know, I think it would be harder to be on the other side. So I think the Rambam fits on, the side. I happen to think the Rambam, I want to make a pattern of the Rambam, even though people will attack me, but theoretically you could have said, right, let's make a little note, you could also agree with the Rambam mitzad ha-totza'a. This just becomes a question of the hierarchy of needs. What's higher in the hierarchy of needs? Self-respect or food? Let me just mention one or two other issues that tie into this. For example, how about chiyum ani bitzaka? So interestingly, the Gemara, I don't feel like we learned this Gemara recently. The Gemara says that even, well, maybe it was in Pesachim? What?
Pesach Ba.
Yeah.
Pesach Ba. No, we had my focus down. I mean, last year.
Yeah, but that wasn't evident. No, I think the Gemara says even Ani should give tzedakah. Where was that Gemara? Does it say in there?
Yeah.
In Gittin. We learned Gittin recently.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So, says the Rambam Shulchan Aruch, even an ani is chayiv in tzedakah. And all the Achronim have a problem with this. Why do they have a problem? Because if you look, Shulchan Aruch Reish Mem Ches says, call him chayiv in tzedakah, feel ani mispani is menet tzedakah. But here we have a problem. Because the Shulchan Aruch Tenim Reish Nar Aleph Sif Gimel, the Rambam writes, Parnassas Atzmo Kodemes L'chol Adam. Right? Anyone know where he gets this from? Parnassas atzmo kedemus l'chol adam, meaning your needs take precedence over everyone else's needs. Therefore, inu chayv latzei tzedakah shalei parnassah. So you don't have to give tzedakah unless you have parnassah, unless you have money for yourself. You come first. Okay, who remembers that story? Two guys, desert?
Yeah.
Right? Right, the Keturah, Rabbi Yekiva, Dar Tzulchei, Ima, your life comes first. So here we have a stira. The Shulchan Aruch says in Reish Mem Ches, even an ani has to give tzedakah. But the Ramah says, and it doesn't seem to be machlokes mechav Ramah. The Ramah says, "Reish an Aleph, you don't have to give tzedakah if you don't have money for yourself. You come first." You don't have to give tzedakah. So it's a stira. So the question is how to answer that stira. What are the two ways to answer that stira? How does the shach answer the stira?
It depends if the ani still has parnasa or doesn't.
Ah, if the ani doesn't have parnasa, I mean, he doesn't have money for himself, he doesn't give tzedakah. Reish Lam Ches, the only man in ani who has money for himself has to give tzedakah. Only an ani with extra money has to give tzedakah. Ah, it says even if parnasa for that tzedakah, having extra money can pay tzedakah. So let's have to say there are some cases where you're allowed to take certain kinds of tzedakah, maybe not a kupa and a tamchoy. There are some tzedakah that you're allowed to take, even if you have enough for your immediate needs, if you don't have enough for your long-term needs. And that feels kept up. Basically, what the shach says is an ani who does not have extra money is potter from tzedakah. And don't read this mechaber in Reish Mem Ches literally. It doesn't literally mean even an ani aspires to tzedakah from tzedakah. All he needs is extra money. Meaning, if you have enough money left over for your parnasa. But the Taz disagrees. The Taz is hiding in Hilchos Purim, in Matanos of Yonim. He contrasts Matanos of Yonim, says, as opposed to regular tzedakah, an ani, he has a different answer to the stira. They're all answering the stira. How do you answer the stira? Reish Mem Ches, an ani has to give. Reish an Aleph, he doesn't. Shach says, if he has extra money, he gives, if not, not. Says the Taz, no, he has to give once a year. Delechaim it's a tzedakah. No, what it means is an ani, the Ramban Reish Lakish says, of course, an ani does that for tzedakah, he comes first. But what there are, and there are Mechan Reish Lakish and Chesman, but once a year he has to give tzedakah. Not two different kinds of ani, it's the same ani. The ani who doesn't have enough parnasa is potter, but once a year he has to give. So, how about, let's put it this way. Chiyuv ani, ein lo. Harnosas atzmo bitzdaka. Says the shach, he's potter. Says the taz, obviously he can't give tzedakah every day. He's going to starve to death. But he's chayiv once a year. He's chayiv to use some tzedakah. This, you could take this in different ways, but maybe this is also an opinion of this hakira. If you look at Sadjot Saha, if the ani doesn't have money for himself, how does it help for him to give to someone else? He has two slices of bread for him and his wife, and the other has one slice of bread. Ah, so let him give you one slice of bread, so now he won't have enough bread for him. He'll only have one slice. How do they help? You don't have any more people having more money for their needs than you used to. You have exactly as much poverty as you started with. I think the shach is right. Says the shach, potter legamre. Ah, if you have extra money, then I understand you're very poor. Reuven's very poor, but he has one extra dollar. Shimon doesn't have food to eat and needs a dollar. So Reuven should use Shimon's dollar, he said. But if Reuven and Shimon both don't have enough food to eat, then of course you're potter. It's not accomplishing anything by trying to bring money from one poor person to another. But what does the Taz say? The Taz says you're chayav. Obviously not every day, then you'll starve. But you're chayav at least sometimes. What? Why did Taz say you're chayav? It doesn't accomplish anything. I think the answer is possible. It doesn't accomplish anything. Taz could solve the Makabal by Rachel and Makabal. But it does accomplish something in terms of the nosay. Yes, even an ani. After all, does an ani need to light Hanukkah candles? Ah, it costs some money. Okay, but it needs light Hanukkah candles anyway. Does an ani, need to do all the mitzvahs? So likewise, does an ani need to eat matzah? Yes. The ani also needs to give tzedakah because the anchor is to the person to give tzedakah, not have less poor people in the world. That could be another nafgamina. And then here is something that I don't have.
AB has your write up where he has from Yadshuta to Machlok. It's actually the Rambam Rav Sadia Gaon. He quotes from Rabbi Rabinowitz. But this is from Rav Sadia Gaon.
Ah, now what does he say here? You guys don't know AB. It's a shame. Where's
on the top?
Kotzmer Rav Sadia Gaon. Basically, the Ramah is a Rav Sadia Gaon, and the Mechaber is a Rambam. So instead of trying to be miyashiv them, okay, I can't be mine now. Instead of miyashiv them, just make it machlokes Rambam and Mechaber. Okay, meaning this, in which case the Taz would fit l'shitase. Basically, this goes together with Rambam / Mechaber, and this goes together with Ramah / Rav Sadia Gaon. Again, the shach and the taz are miyashiv and mechaber and arba. Either miyashiv them by pulling them both one way or pulling them both the other way. Or you could say it's machlokas, which what Avi wants to tie in that paper. Is that in his book?
Yeah, he's writing it now.
Oh, writing it now. Okay. Anyway, I just want to make one other fascinating havara. And this, okay, it's always good to listen to Rishayim, who are philosophers at least, because it makes you think. So my alma mater, in my alma mater, they hired a big philosopher at some point. It was a big brouhaha. There was a big fight in the board of trustees, etc. The guy's name is Peter Singer. No one heard of Peter Singer? Okay. Peter Singer is one of the big philosophers in the world nowadays. He has some very radical views, which is why it was such a fight that people ended up resigning and leaving in a huff from the board of trustees of Princeton University over this. His chap is that it's unethical to worry about the poor person down the block from you in Indianapolis, you know, who needs $5,000 to pay their mortgage, when there are people in Africa who are starving, you know, and you could save 50 people in Africa for that money. Okay, and therefore, for him, it's unethical to give anything but the most needy people in the world. Okay, this has to do with a lot of hashkafic issues in the Western world nowadays, which we're not getting into, but this is legamri, the opposite of the halacha. Legamri, the opposite of the halacha. Again, the halacha is complex. You have to look in the Orcha Shulchan al Atar, how to balance. Some people are starving and some people aren't starving. How does that balance? But in general, that wasn't his radical view that caused trouble. But his more radical view is that once he's a universalist, you know, you take it further. And you say that, you know, it's more important to save the life of a dog than a retarded kid. Because after all, the dog is, you know, more useful, enjoys life more, etc. And from there on, it just goes downhill. But what does the Ramah say? What did the Gemara say? The Mechid, the Shulchan Aruch, etc. Right? We all know the Gemara says, right? We all hear this sometimes. Right, Aniya Ircha Kodman. Right, we hear this when the people come to collect for the city, come to us. You know, the other people have to quote other things. The Gemara says explicitly, "Es Hani Imach Ami Vnochri Ami Kodem Asher Kodem," etc. The Ramah just summarizes very nicely. They darshan in the Pesukim. The closer you are, the more the Kibbutz Tzedakah says the Ramah. Your parents come before other relatives, parents come before kids, kids come before brothers, then come brothers before other relatives, relatives before neighbors, neighbors before city, fellow city dwellers, on earlier fellow city dwellers before another city, etc. And likewise, there's a clear hierarchy in halacha that the closer someone is to you, the more preference you have to give them for tzedakah. Triage for tzedakah. Nothing to do with, again, I'm not getting into halacha l'maisa. It's complicated. There's a whole question of how this interacts with the triage in the end of Horios about how about more important people come first, but that's not what most of them unfortunately deal with, how this interacts with the triage of needs. After all, what if one person is starving and the other person, you know, and the other person needs his car fixed? Okay. But there's a fundamental principle.
But
the closer someone is to me, the more I have to give them tzedakah. That's a principle in halacha. Why is there such
a
principle?
But don't they also say not that you shouldn't give more than like half to your children or something like that?
So that's what I said. You have to look in the Orcha Shulchan. Right. In the Orcha Shulchan here, he says perhaps it has to be balanced. You have to split in the. Okay. And you're right. The Orcha Shulchan said maybe it doesn't mean all, it just means more, but you have to give some to other people also, otherwise people won't give their kids. You're right, I'm the Orcha Shulchan. I'm interested here in the principle, not in the application. But no one denies the principle. No Jew denies this principle. But Mehechi Tesi, because Peter Singer seems to be correct. After all, why should, let's say I live in Indianapolis, why should people in Indianapolis be more important than people in Rochester? I mean, there's no objective reason why people in the I live in my shchinim, right? Guy in my block. Why is the guy in my block more important than the guy in the next town, in Efrat, right? I don't live in Efrat, right, but nearby. Why is the guy in my block more important than the guy in Efrat?
there's no objective reason why he's better. Again, we're not talking about objective considerations, right? This Rama has no objective considerations. We're not talking about this person is objectively a better person. We're not talking about tzaddikim and rishayim and talmidei chacham and ami aretz. We're not dealing with that. They're all just regular people. Why should someone be more important if they live closer to me or if they're related to me? It doesn't seem to make sense at first glance. It just doesn't seem to be logical. Again, if I live in Indianapolis, why is a Jew in Indianapolis more important than a Jew in Paris? So the only answer I found in the Mefarshim is a Panim Yafos. You know what the Panim Yafos is. It's the Pirush on Chumash of the Baal HaFla, right? The Sefer Makta Kiddushin, the HaFla on Ksubas. The HaFla, it's easy to remember his name, because the HaFla, Rav Pinchas Halevi Horowitz. What does he say? He says, well, it's not really your money you're giving to tzedakah. The whole drasha here of how, really you make money from tzedakah, you don't lose money. Why? Because it makes a lot of sense. Let's say I want to send you money with Western Union, right? Well, like everyone, they send back home to India or Mexico or wherever, right? So I want to send $100 back to my relative in Sri Lanka with Western Union. What do I have to give Western Union?
Commission.
Yeah, I have to give Western Union $110. And then they send $100 to my relative in Sri Lanka. So he says, Hashem doesn't give the rich people money stam. He gives the rich people a pikadon to give to the poor people. They're the Western Union. They're Hashem's Western Union. But of course, he pays the commission. Not only that, but since there's an Indian of my service to Dhaka, they charge, even Western Union rips you off. But Hashem, since Hashem's a big batra and he lets himself get ripped off even more, he gives you actually a 900% commission. So you get to keep 9/10 for a commission, the other 10 stuck. Okay, he's a very nice musser about that. He cleverly changes the comma. What's in your hand is really from the poor person, not from you. Okay, that's very nice. But how does this affect what we're saying? He says, Saint Hashem gives money to the rich people to deliver the poor people. And then it's the staver that Hashem gives money to the people who live near the recipients. After all, if I'm wiring money to a branch of the bank, I'm going to wire money to the branch of the bank near the recipient, right? If I want to send money to someone in Indianapolis, I'll wire to a bank in Indianapolis and let them keep a commission. I won't wire it to a bank in Santa Fe. So therefore, send the Panim Yafos, again, you never know how, whether, we certainly wouldn't Paskin Halacha. You can explain it already, Paskin Halacha, based on your idea about how Hashem runs the world. He says, therefore, Hashem hints by giving money to rich people which poor people he wants it to go to. If he gives it to a rich person in Indianapolis, that's his way of hinting that he wants to distribute it in Indianapolis. Okay, in which case, if it's a message from Shemayim, it's a message from Shemayim. Nothing you can do about it, right? That's what he says, but also ir mashfiel asher shavosu ir chelika ani al karchin gain kodme. Says, after all, Hashem only gives the rich people money for the sake of the poor people. So he finds the rich person who's closest to the poor person. But I thought you could say a much easier hesber without hani kashi rachmana lovely. This might be totally in our chakira. Mitzad the totsa'a, is there any difference between a poor Jew in Indianapolis and a poor Jew in Santa Fe? I mean, of course not. Like, what possible logic could there be, right? If I'm in Tzfat, we got one side of the saw. There's no difference whether a Jew in Tzfat has food to eat or a Jew in Beersheba has food to eat. But mitzad the maisa, mitzad the midos, the nesina, of course it makes all the difference in the world. Let's think about it. There are two Jews. One of them is my next door neighbor, and one of them lives 1,000 miles away. If I give money to the guy 1,000 miles away, then, I don't know, I send a check in the mail, or those days they didn't have checks, some guy comes snoring, so I give him money to bring back 1,000 miles away. Okay, that has a limited experience of generosity and caring. And if I don't give money to my next door neighbor, because I sent it all to Santa Fe, then I'm an achzar. It's cruelty. It's an experience of cruelty to not give to my neighbor. If I give to my neighbor, that's an experience of caring and forgiveness. And if I don't give to the guy to Santa Fe, and it really doesn't make much of a Rosh Shem on me. Mitzad the Rosh Shem on the no say, out of sight is out of mind. The further someone is from me, the less cruel it is to not give them, and the less of an experience of togetherness and empathy it is to give them. If I give someone who I have a relationship with, then it's more cruel to not give them. And it's more empathy to give them. Mitzad no sin, of course, there's precedence that people are closer to me, because that's more of an experience of empathy and avoiding cruelty. Again, if I don't write a check for poor Jews in Tveria, I haven't had an experience of selfishness. If I don't give money to my next door neighbor or to my brother who's in need, then I'm becoming a selfish person, and vice versa. So I think that if the dine kedimas make perfect sense, mitzad the maisa, mitzad the totsah, then all of a sudden you have to come up with all kinds of other explanations, such as put on the yellow poster, you can make up, you know, I opened the book and made up a few other explanations. Kastan, you know Kastan? How about dine kedima? The dine kedima, mitzad the maisa, that makes sense. I haven't found this in the Rambam, but I should find it in the Rambam. If I ask the Rambam, this is what he would tell him. It makes sense. Mitzad, the experience of the usher. Mitzad, the experience of the usher, of course, whoever's closer to me has more of a rosh to me. It's more of an experience of being good or bad, to care about them or not care about them. Someone's out of sight, out of mind. They're not a real experience. They're not a real part. They're not real in my mind. It's just a theoretical concept. Mitzad, the totsah, it makes no sense. And at first, it makes no sense is a not a nice thing to say, but you have to give a technical answer, such as the panayakos. You give other answers also. Like, for example, you say, if you assume everyone is an equal number of people closer to them, then you say it's better for me to give to those closer to me, because if I don't give to those farther away from me, there'll be other people closer to them, and someone will convince them to give to them. You can come up with a lot of technical answers, right? You can say, why is it more important for me to give to my brother than your brother? Because if I give to my brother, someone will convince you to give to your brother, and everyone will get money. If I give to your brother, no one will convince you to give to my brother, and people won't get money. You can come up with technical answers. The part of Yafo is just the only one I've noticed. Let me just, oh my. It is exceedingly late, and we haven't gotten to everything. But let me just point out, even if we only have 30 seconds left, two ha'aros. Number one, the fascinating discussion of what it means to the Adam She'enam Mugan. I'm not sure. This is the least, you know, all these I really think are about this question. You can only be talking one way or the other. This, I'm less convinced, but perhaps the fascinating question of Einam Mehuganin, who are the Einam Mehuganin who you shouldn't give tzedakah to? Where is Einam Mehuganin who you should avoid for tzedakah? Okay, maybe it's not telling you this. I just want to point out one thing. It could be, of course, that perhaps there are two dinim in tzedakah. Perhaps both these are true, right? I mean, they're both nice ideas. Maybe tzedakah is both for the sake of the dosing and for the sake of the Mikado. Rav Elchanan thinks this in his essay, the Bosh of Yerai Gadus, in the back of the Aruch, although he wants to make this something general about all mitzvahs. He says, really, the Avodas Hashem and Harbatas Hani. Not about the effect on the nosein, and not about the moral effect on the nosein and Harbatas Hani. But it could be that there are Tzvedinim, meaning if you help the Ani, but you don't really have a proper Mice in Messina, then you've done one thing. If you have a proper experience of Messina, but somehow you get a mitzvah and don't help the Ani, then you have the other bit. And if you have both, you have both dinim. Rav Elchanan uses this to explain, again, he has a slightly different version, to explain the third Yirmiya. Since when do you get no power, you mess up and don't get a tzedakah? He said, well, there's state dinim. He was the only putting out Rishayim. The Rishayim did everything for the wrong reason. Even the Rekofa, their Yetzer, they all did it Shalom Lishma just to show off, just to bribe God. They weren't doing it for the right reason. They were doing Shalom Lishma. And therefore, since they were doing Shalom Lishma, they don't have the scar of the Maisa. And since Hashem was Macho, then they don't have the scar of the Nesina. This will come up. Where might we find a hint in Gemara there at Tzvi Dinim and Tzedakah? The Gemara says, and then we'll have to come back to one or two points next time. The Gemara says, on the bottom, Tesam and Aleph, Amar of Asli, Le'olam, and with this we'll end. Le'olam, you have to give
at least a third of a shekel every year. Just like they gave to Beis HaMikdash a third of a shekel, they have to give at least a third of a shekel a year. That's very, very little money. Why do you have to give a third of a shekel a year? Is that within one din or is that a new din? I think that's machlokes between the Rambam and the Ritva. The Rambam says, what the shir of tzedakah? Generous 20%. Average 10%. Cheapskate less than that. At least a third of a shekel a year. There's one retzef of one spectrum of tzedakah ranging from a third of a shekel to 20%. The Ritva says no. There's two different circumstances. When do you have to give at least, that's all question. When do you have to give at least a third of a shekel? You have to give more than that. The Rambam says, of course you have to give more than that. That's just the bare minimum. The Ritva says no. If you see poor people, you have to give them more than that. If you don't find poor people, you still have to go on a quest to find poor people in a farming kingdom and give a third of a shekel give a third of a shekel per year. Says the Ritva, if you find poor people, you have to give more. The third of a shekel is if you don't know any poor people. There are no poor people. You still have to go to the end of the earth to find a poor person to give them a third of a shekel a year. It could be that, what's the Ritva saying? If there's poor people, that's mitzvah the joke saw. You have to help the poor people. Of course you have to give much more than a third of a shekel per year. But what if there's no poor people? Then there's no need for a tzotzah. There are no poor people. But you're missing the mice in giving tzedakah. You're missing the key to giving tzedakah. Then you have to go on a quest and find some poor person somewhere in the world to give a third of the shekel because you need a mice in giving tzedakah. So it could be that there's fake giving. That would be similar, not exactly equivalent to Rechana's explanation for Yirmiyah. And maybe if there were Beis Dinim, right, if we were to say they were Beis Dinim, then according to the Ritva, Lefi Ritva, you would say this is if there's no Aniyim in town. So there's no Totsah necessary. You still need to give Shlishis Tashtekel. How? Okay, it's hard to find a lulav sometimes. So it's hard to find money sometimes. It's hard to find a shofar sometimes. But okay, go find it. And this is if there are Aniyim, then you have to give as much as necessary. And it could be that according to Rosh Hashanah or similar to Rosh Hashanah, that's why people, Yirmiyah's enemies, didn't get schar, right? Similar to the Kovetz Ha'aros that I put in brackets here. Here, what we're saying is that they got no schar for this because they were Shalom Lishma. They were Rishon who were giving Shalom Lishma, even when they subdued their Yetzer. It was only to do it for evil reasons. And they got no schar for this because of the mishal of Bnei Adam She'enam Mehuganim. And perhaps that will be evident there. It's fading. Okay, this is some basic, again, this ties into what we discussed yesterday about Masor Shalniyim, some basic yitzodos of the nature of the mitzvah tzedakah. There are a lot of details that maybe we'll get a chance to see, maybe we won't get a chance to see. Amir Toshev, we'll have one more shiur on tzedakah, see how much we can pack into that shiur, and then Amir Toshev, we'll start the third pair.
Can I say something?
Yes, AB, go.
I want to make more precise what Chaim said. First of all, Rav Rabinovich doesn't say that there's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rav Sadia. He brings the tour with Rav Sadia's position, which is what the Shach said, what the Rama said, and what the Shach said. Okay. But he doesn't say there's a machlokes. I think that there is a machlokes, and the reason for that is a Rambam at the end of the Mitzvos Aseh. The Rambam at the end of Mitzvos Aseh does a categorization of different classes of mitzvos. Uh-huh. In the Sefer HaMitzvos, yeah. At the end of Mitzvos Aseh, he talks about the different groups of mitzvos and works down to what every person has to do. Mm-hmm. One of the groups of mitzvos that he discusses is Mishe Eshel Rechush. And at the end of it, he mentions maestros, and so on and so forth, that people are only chayiv if they have property. And he makes a point at the end to say that this doesn't include stucco. Stucco, you're chayiv even if you have no property. And the raya is that an ani ha-mitparnes me'at stucco also is chayiv to be stucco.
Yes, I see it.
So that implies that an ani is chayiv to give stucco even if he doesn't have enough for his parnasa. Now, it's the chiyuv of the person of Nesina, which goes together with the position of the Rambam in general. The question that, there are two questions that I don't know the answer to, and that is one, first of all, if there's such a chiyuv on an ani, is there kfiya on such a chiyuv, like any other mitzvah saseh? And second of all, the Rambam says in about the shlisha of a shekel, that if you don't give a shlish of a shekel,
you're not yotzei tzedakah.
Not yotzei. I haven't found any mokar for that.
I mean, the mokar is our Gemara. That's how we interpreted our Gemara.
Gemara says you should give it lo yimna. It doesn't say if you didn't give, you're not mekayim anything.
Correct. Yeah. I would taina that the Rambam got that perhaps in process of elimination, right? We all know that you're supposed to give. We all know you're supposed to give much more than shlish da shekel. So what shlish da shekel must be shlish da shekel is the minimum. A minimum means below that is not worth anything. Because if below that was worth something, there'd be no significance to shlish da shekel. He just needed to find significance to shlish da shekel. Halachically. The risk
that is the question. That's the question.
Yes. He needed to find some nafgamina of shlish da shekel or halachically that it wasn't just an exhortation. And this is how he failed.
Is it because that it doesn't do anything for the person? Is that what the Rambam is after?
Maybe.
But it doesn't help.
Maybe. It's not significant. It's insignificant.
It's insignificant.
Yeah. Everything else is significant.
Well, he's the only one that Rambam is the only one who's so.